Hallelujah. Christ is risen. And because of Jesus, there is always hope in whatever circumstance you find yourself this morning. No matter how demeaning, no matter how heartbreaking, there is always hope. The God who had the incredible capacity to roll away the stone that was holding hope back and set hope free in the world is ready at your invitation to roll away the stone that is standing in your way. Standing in your way to lead a life that really matters. Because Christ is risen, there is always hope. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning, because I long for you to immerse yourself in the hope-giving words of Holy Scripture. And I hope that you will turn with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, the first among equals of the disciples. Peter, the one who denied Jesus but was restored. Peter, who had the rock of his own willful way rolled away, gives his unique witness to the resurrection. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, hear these words of promise and power. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. St. Peter begins his unique witness to the resurrection with these words of doxology. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. A living hope. Not hopes that have died, but hope that is alive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Every person on earth needs hope. Desperately needs hope. Hope is such a powerful concept that it has been addressed by every great philosophical movement since the beginning of recorded history. King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, knew what life was like without hope. In Proverbs 13, chapter 12, he writes these heartbreaking words. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Famed 20th century psychiatrist, the late Dr. Carl Menninger, wrote, hope is a necessity for normal life. And get this, the major weapon against the suicide impulse. Wow, what a contrast. Hope or suicide? The great 20th century German theologian, Dr. Jürgen Moltmann, and his remarkable 1964 work, Theology of Hope, wrote, "Totally without hope, one cannot live. To live without hope is to cease to live. Hell is hopelessness." It is no accident that above the entrance to Dante's Inferno, Dante's hell, is the inscription, "Leave behind all hope, you who enter here." I need hope. And you need hope. But what is the definition of this hope? And what is the source of this hope? And how can we experience hope this Resurrection Sunday? The hope that is the promise, the gift, the result of Jesus being raised from the dead. I'd like to outline this message today around the four letters of that important word, hope, H-O-P-E, with the hope that this will help you internalize the promise of God through Christ, the promise that is the doxology of St. Peter, and that you from this day will begin to live into the living hope that God through Christ has already purchased for you, guaranteed for you, made available for you. How do we define hope? What's behind hope? I believe, firstly, that you and I, every human being, have a deeply felt hunger. A hunger that in many ways, when it goes unfulfilled, is the root of much of the evil and the addiction of the world. Something deeply in us that is calling out. Jesus speaks of hunger boldly in his magnificent first sermon and in the section we call the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, verse 6. "Blessed are the hungry." Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be right with God, to be right with themselves, to be right in their relationships with others. Blessed are you. You are in just the right place. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be filled. In the complex study of human personality, we were given some great insight beginning in 1943 with a remarkable paper entitled "The Theory of Human Motivation," crafted by Dr. Abraham Maslow. Perhaps you know something of Maslow and his theory of the hierarchy of needs. He speaks first of our deficit needs, the need for food and shelter, the need for a sense of security and safety, the need we have to belong to someone else. He talks about deficit needs, but then he talks about higher needs. Once our deficit needs are met, there is this raging hunger in us for a sense of worth and purpose. Maslow calls it self-actualization. Discovering and living into our truest selves. Not defined by others, not even defined by ourselves, but defined by the one who made us and knows us best. What are you hungry for? First of all, do you realize you're hungry? You know you're hungry because of that gnawing sense of dissatisfaction in your soul. That gnawing sense that surely I am more than a paycheck to take care of my family. Surely there's more than making lunches and cooking dinner. Surely there's more than just taking up time. Surely life is more than getting up in the morning, going to work, coming home, eating dinner, burping, going to bed, and then getting up to start all over again. We know something of this incredible hunger because the lengths to which we go to try to fill that hunger, and too often it results in all forms of addictions. either trying to quell the emptiness, to silence the gnawing feeling, to numb us through this sense of uncertainty about our truest selves. It makes us greedy. It makes us selfish. It makes us demanding. It causes us to use other people, to be dishonest about our word, to lack integrity. We look to all kinds of things and people and substances to try to fill the gnawing hunger within us. It is a hunger that God has put in us. Why? Because you are not an accident. You were made with a purpose. You are here for a reason. And until you and I get in touch with our purpose, in touch with our reason, no matter how successful we have become, until we know our purpose, there will always be a hunger. Here's something of a diagnostic. When you do what you do because you have to do it, and it causes you stress, you haven't found your purpose. But when you do what you do because you delight in doing it, because you are in your spiritual sweet spot, you call that passion. I wonder, where are you on the meter between stress, working yourself to death and wondering, what the heck, versus passion, giving everything you have, being slap worn out, and your spirit rejoice because you are in your spiritual zone. I'm having car trouble. My 10-year-old Volvo. I love my Volvo because A, it's paid for, and B, my tag and insurance get a little lower every year. I love my Volvo, and it looks so good in a funeral procession. I mean, I love my Volvo. I've already spent a bunch of money on it at the beginning of the year, and now I'm having trouble again. That check engine light. It's not accelerating quite right on 285. I'm afraid I got some problems. When I want to deal with my Volvo, I quickly run and get the owner's manual. I acknowledge that it's the owner's manual and then give it to my dad. I mean, that's my dad's sweet spot. That's his passion. But you know, there's some things that go wrong with cars today in the midst of the computer complexity that requires that it be returned to the manufacturer's representative for appropriate diagnostic and repair. And yeah, sometimes I make the long drive to North Point Volvo to take it back to the ones who made it, who know it best and can repair it. The hunger that you feel in your life will never be filled other than by the one who made you and knows why you're here and has the incredible capacity to remind you that you're not an accident. I don't care what the circumstances of your birth were, you are not an accident. And that there is no hole that you can dig so deep. The dumb things that you and I do, let's admit it, we dig our own hole. There is no hole that you can ever dig so deep that it is beyond the grip of God's amazing rescuing grace. What are you hungry for right now? There is an empty place in you that will never, ever be filled until you invite the one who made you to fill it. H, hunger. What does the O stand for? God knows that because of the fall of humankind, that you and I have a deep hunger, and He has already made a divine offer to fill that hunger. He's not waiting for us to say, In advance, He has prepared a way for that hunger to be fulfilled. And of the many invitations God gives in His matchless word, The one that means the most to my heart is Matthew 11, verse 28 and following, where Jesus, the God-man, the one whose resurrection we celebrate, says to all of humanity in first-person language, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you" what? Rest, restoration, renewal, a sense of passion. "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart," and you will find what? Rest for your soul. Why do you think Jesus has to say it twice? He wants us to get in touch with the fact that there's a restlessness in our soul that only He can fill. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is agricultural language. Probably not many of us know what this language is all about. It's about putting a wooden harness on two beasts of burden and by the person who is driving them, so to speak, enables a cart to move and enables a road to be plowed. Jesus is saying, "Take my purpose for your life on you." Not the purpose somebody else has for you. Not even what you've dreamed up yourself. "Take my purpose upon you." And guess what? You'll find that purpose easy and that burden light. Why? Because it's the reason why you were made. It's your passion. It's your sweet spot. It's what brings joy to your soul. St. Augustine, you may say St. Augustine. St. Augustine is one of my heroes of the early church, bishop in 4th century North Africa. He writes about his wayward, wasteful life. He was a prodigal son, if there ever was one. He talks about his mama, St. Monica, who prayed him out of his hole. There's not a thing St. Augustine didn't do that you and I thought about doing. But he says about himself in his remarkable book, The Confessions. And forgive me, I memorized it in Elizabethan language and I love it. Augustine prays to God and says, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in thee." He heard the offer of Jesus Christ, "Come unto me, all you who have dug a big old hole for your life and you're paying the price for it, burdened, heavy burdened, and I will give you restoration." Well, if the H is the hunger and the O is the offer, the P is how that offer is received. It's a person. It's not a concept. It's not a pill. It's not a bottle. It's not a self-help. It is a person, a divine person. Why do we make so much about Jesus? Because he was more than a prophet or a priest. He was more than one that came to prepare the way for our salvation. We believe with everything in us that God is in Christ reconciling, reclaiming the world for himself. The writer, St. Paul, the elder statesman of the church, a bishop, if you will, is speaking to one of his young ordained ministers, St. Timothy, when he gives this incredible insight of the one who is both fully God and fully human all at the same time. The one that knows the holiness of God and the hunger of humanity and has felt everything that we can possibly feel. St. Paul writes and says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." I like that word mediator. He's the one that can bring what it takes to fill our hunger. He's the one that can speak in terms we understand the offer, the invitation. It's all about the meeting point between heaven and earth in the unique divine person of Jesus. He is my bridge. He's the one that rebuilds the wall of my life. He's the one that makes way where there seems to be no way. He is the light and love of God in human form that I can see and touch and understand. The unique person of Jesus. The hunger is real. And for some of us, good-looking, successful as we are, for some of us, that unfulfilled hunger is about to wreck our lives. Addictions, relationships that we know are not right, activities that we're involved in. There is an offer given through a divine person. But because we come from a theological tradition that believes so strongly in free will, that offer requires a response. And so the E of hope, you and I can experience a real life exchange. The old for new. Stress for passion. Purposelessness for a holy spirit. Infusion brings a joy and a reconciliation and a sense of worth to your life like you've never had before. I like the way St. Paul put it. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that means we invite Jesus to fill that hunger for us. We have peace. Oh, finally, peace. Oh. Let the stress and the diaphragm go. I found my place. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God is an Old Testament as well as a New Testament concept. And the best way to describe the glory of God is this shining radiance of the Almighty. It's the shining radiance that Moses must have experienced when he said, I'm going to take my shoes off. Heck, I'm on holy ground. It's the radiance that surely shined out of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when God said, listen to him. He's the one. He's mine. The radiance that surely shines on this Easter Sunday morning, piercing every cloud of sin and sadness in your life with the radiance of hope. I like the way Paul continues to use this hope theme in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, when he says, beginning in verse 26, when he says, I have become a servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. And what is the mystery? The knowledge that you are hungering for. I love these words, and I bet you can memorize them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I want to make this personal for my life. And I hope you'll want to make it personal too. And say about yourself, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's the glorious promise that was revealed to us in the birth of Jesus. St. John, the gospel writer, the one who writes the majestic cosmic gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, writes this powerful witness. He came unto his own, and they did not receive him. But as many as did receive him, he gave them the right, the privilege of being children of God. not accidents, not mistakes, not reprobates, not second-class citizens, not sit in the back of the bus. Children of God. But I want to go back to that thought of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Because I'm believing today that somebody's on the tipping edge of hope. You're about to fall off. You may not have a suicide impulse, but you're involved in some things that are fixing to kill you. Spiritually, relationally, maybe even physically. But I'm believing today that somebody is on the cusp of real hope. A living hope. Well, John teaches us, as do so many in the Bible, that the first step toward hope is to receive the one, the only one, who can fill your hunger, who has made an offer. It's the divine person of Jesus. I wonder, have you ever come to the place, to the intentional decision, to say, Lord Jesus, not only can I not do it alone anymore, I won't do it alone anymore. This hunger is about to consume me. I take you at your word. For whatever I am worth to you, I receive you as my Savior, my rescuer. And with whatever faith I have, I want to make you my Lord, the one I choose to make CEO of my life, and ask you to call the shots. Secondly, we classically think about Christ and me in terms of discipleship, getting into God's Word. I love reading the Word of God. I love disciple Bible study and all the kinds of resources that we use in the life of this church to get the Word of God in me. But friends, after 7 years together, you have become real clear that I are dumb. I am S-L-O. I am slow. And what I've discovered is I'm more than eyes to read. I'm also ears to hear. And I want you to know, across the years of my Christian life, since I came to receive Jesus personally, how my life has been incredibly shaped by Christ-centered music. I don't think it's just because I really like music. I have no rhythm, I have no beat, but I really like music. But I believe that music is the inspired Word of God in a way that we hear it differently than with our eyes. And I want to present you a challenge. I listen to Christ-centered music morning, noon, and night. Why? Because I desperately want my mind to be shaped after the thoughts of Christ. And I desperately want my heart to be motivated by the service of Jesus Christ. And I desperately want my hands to be active in a way that makes a difference. I listen to Christ-centered music all the time. Why? Because I want Christ in me. Not just through my eyes, but through my ears. Now, I don't know what kind of music you listen to, and I've learned everybody's is fierce about their opinion of their music. What they like, and by golly, what they don't like and aren't ever going to listen to. We are passionate about our music. The good news is, if you look hard enough, you can find a beat that fits your style that is wed with Christ-centered lyrics. And I want to present you a 30-day challenge to somebody here who really wants to experience the hope of the resurrection, the living hope of the resurrection, who really hears Paul say, Christ in me is the hope of glory. And you make a decision from today, you're going to go 30 days and only listen to Christ-centered music. Now, that's going to be a challenge, because I know you'd rather listen to gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Doom, despair, and agony on me. I know you like that music. I know you like faux spiritual music. God is great. People are crazy. I know you like that. It happens to be true. I know you like... I left a little part out of that, you know. But I think you understand what I mean. I know that you're passionate about your music, but here's the good news. In 30 days' time, I believe, if you are intentional about filling your every thought with Christ-centered music, something will miraculously, supernaturally begin to change in your outlook about yourself and about the world, in the way your heart responds to circumstances that are a challenge to you, in the way suddenly you learn to forgive yourself and forgive others. The anger that is so hotly burning in you right now is cooled by the presence of the Lord. The deeply damaged self-image under which you live is repaired and restored. The sense of brokenness and pride that cannot allow you to say to another person that you have hurt, "I'm sorry," suddenly those words freely come, sincerely come from your lips. I've written down on the outline some suggestions. I have downloaded on my iPhone from the iTunes store. I happen to like the radio station K-Love. It's out of Texas. I like it. As long as I've got an internet connection, it's free. I listen to Christ-centered contemporary music every moment I can. When I get in the car, I happen to have Sirius XM, grateful for it. It is always on Sirius 63, which is the message. Maybe you like a more traditional kind of music. There is the great app in the App Store, the application for your smartphone, Pandora. It's free. You have to listen to the commercials unless you pay $3.99, and then you don't have to listen to the commercials. But if you will search on Pandora, you can find great hymns of the church, if great hymns nourish you the way they nourish me. You can find great music that speaks of Jesus Christ with a country beat to it, with a head-bashing beat to it. You can find Christ-centered music that sounds like you're in an elevator. You can find Christ-centered music that is every bit as inspiring as that which we experience here on Sunday morning. The point is, if you are willing to look for it, you can find Christ-centered music that fits the beat that you like. And here's my challenge for you. After 30 days, if you're intentional about it, if you're ready to find hope, something will begin to change in your mind and in your heart. You're going to enjoy it. Finally, you're going to get to begin to enjoy it. And at the end of 30 days, you're going to say, "Heck, I want to keep going." So you're going to go 40 days till the day of the ascension. Jesus rose 40 days after the resurrection. And suddenly you're going to realize your heart's being lifted up in a way that you never thought possible. You're going to keep going to the 50th day, to Pentecost. And by 50 days of filling your mind and your heart intentionally with Christ-centered music, you are going to feel an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God in your life in a way that you are going to be a different man, a different woman. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you don't believe it, ask your spouse. That's what your spouse is praying for. That's what your kids are praying for. You're going to be a different person. I believe St. Peter got it right in his unique witness of Jesus when he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His mercy, He has given us new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Friends, here's the good news. Because of Jesus, no matter how deep your hole is, there is always hope. Happy Easter. Hallelujah. Amen.